I still remember the night Big Joe's smile finally slipped off his face, transforming into something sinister and unrecognizable. That was the night when the air in our quiet little town grew heavy, as if soaked in dread. I was working the night shift at Voodoo Donuts, the kind of place that smelled perpetually of sugar and spice. Yet that night, the aroma was suffocated by a palpable tension. Joe was a regular, a man whose massive frame was only outmatched by his usual jovial disposition. Lately, though, he'd been different. More than once, I'd caught him muttering under his breath, eyes wide and darting, as if chasing invisible demons. His obsession with the Tex-Ass Challenge, a monstrous donut-eating contest designed for thrill-seekers, had grown into a nightly ritual. He just kept talking about it whenever he came, asking if anyone had completed the challenge of eating half a pound donut in less than 80 seconds. But that night, he wasn't just there for donuts. He stormed in just past midnight. The door banged against the wall, startling us all as we were the last of staff and customers who were soon going to wrap things up. My heart thumped painfully against my chest as I watched him walk straight to the counter.
"Tonight's the night, Sarah. The Feast of Feasts,"
he whispered, his voice a coarse whisper that sent shivers down my spine. The way he said it, it was as if he wasn't really talking to me, but to something behind me, something only he could see. I nodded, unsure of how to respond, and handed him the tray stacked with the gargantuan donuts. As the other patrons cautiously watched, Joe sat alone at his usual corner booth, the dim overhead light flickering slightly as if shivering from his cold presence. He didn't eat immediately. Instead, he closed his eyes, mumbling words too soft to make out. Then, without warning, he began devouring the donuts with a frenzy I had never seen before. Each bite seemed to fuel an increasing agitation in him. Halfway through his grotesque display, he paused, his breaths ragged. His eyes snapped open, locking into mine. They were bloodshot, the veins pulsating like they were alive.
"He speaks to me, Sarah. He tells me I'm almost there, to the divine gluttony."
His words slurred into a madman's laugh. I took a step back, my instincts screaming at me to call for help. Other customers began to murmur among themselves.
80 seconds are up, Joe.
That's all I could say. Suddenly, Joe stood up, knocking the table over, donuts tumbling to the floor. He began chanting loudly in a language I couldn't recognize, his voice growing louder and more fervent with each word.
"I am the vessel. Witness the coronation. The king of gluttony, who shall build his paradise upon the crumbs they leave behind."
In a flash, he grabbed one of the kitchen knives we used for cutting giant donuts. Pointing it, he turned to the room, his eyes wild. People screamed, scrambling towards the exit. But Joe was faster. He lunged towards the nearest customer, a young man who had been too slow to react. I watched, horrified, as Joe dragged him back, pressing the knife to his throat.
"Eat, eat, or become the feast."
The young man, tears streaming down his face, began to eat the leftover donuts which Joe picked from the floor and shoved into his mouth. Joe counted till 80, but since the man wasn't able to finish eating the leftovers, Joe cried, literally, tears rushing from his eyes as he wailed loudly while looking up in the sky before slashing the man's throat with the knife. My mind raced, terror gripping me as I realized the nightmare Joe had succumbed to. I needed to do something. It was then that I noticed the old fire extinguisher near the back door. I edged towards it, praying Joe's focus remained on his dead hostage. My hands shook as I gripped the cold metal, the weight of it grounding me enough to muster the courage for what I needed to do next. I had to wait for the right moment. Joe's frenzied shouts filled the room, blending with the cries of the trapped patrons. Joe, oblivious to the people's terror, continued his demented sermon about the glories of excess. I inched closer, the weight of the extinguisher grounding me despite the shaking of my hands. Joe's back was partially turned to me, his attention wholly consumed by his deluded ritual. I knew I had only one shot at this. If I missed, or if he turned too soon, I doubted he would hesitate to make me his next victim. Just as Joe raised the knife, signaling another terrifying command, I sprang forward. With all the strength I could muster, I swung the heavy extinguisher. It connected with the side of his head with a sickening thud, and for a moment, time seemed to slow down. Joe's eyes widened in shock and pain, the knife clattering to the floor as he stumbled sideways. He then shook his head, a low growl emanating from his throat, and fixed his gaze on me. There was a moment of sheer terror when I thought he would charge, but instead, he staggered, clutching his head. The impact had disoriented him, but it hadn't been enough to knock him out.
You don't understand. I am the Chosen One. They talk to me. They tell me what to consume. Gluttony isn't a sin. It is a throne.
I have called the police, Joe. It's over.
But he only laughed, a disturbing hollow sound that echoed through the now silent shop. He began stumbling towards me, his steps uncertain but determined.
It's never over, the feast. It never ends. Count the 80 seconds.
With that, he grabbed the donut from a nearby table and started hogging on it. I backed away, keeping the extinguisher ready. But just as he was about to complete the challenge, something happened. His breathing grew labored, his face increasingly pale. Suddenly, something stuck. Joe clutched at his chest, his eyes bulging with a mix of pain and fear. He took another step, then collapsed, his massive body hitting the ground with a force that shook the nearby tables. For a moment, I stood frozen, staring at his still form, the extinguisher slipping from my numb fingers. The room was silent, except for the soft sobs of relieved customers and the distant sound of approaching sirens. I knelt beside Joe, my hands trembling as I checked for a pulse. There was none. His eyes, once filled with a mad fervor, were now lifeless and empty. The police arrived minutes later, their questions blending into the cacophony of my shocked thoughts. I explained what had happened, my voice distant and hollow in my own ears. They took statements, their expressions a mixture of sympathy and disbelief. Later, as I sat in the back of an ambulance, a blanket around my shoulders and a cup of coffee trembling in my hands, I couldn't shake the image of Joe's final moments. The madness, the obsession with a devilish feast, it had consumed him completely. The weight of the night's events pressed heavily on me. The town would recover, the diner would reopen, and life would go on. But the shadows of that night would linger in my mind, the horrifying lengths to which obsession could drive a man. As the first light of dawn crept through the windows, touching the chaos left behind, I realized the nightmare was over, but its echoes would still haunt me forever. The story you just saw is inspired from a true event. Voodoo Donuts' popular 80-second challenge was suddenly stopped in 2017 when a man choked on his donut while attempting the challenge and sadly passed away. The drive to Voodoo Donuts that night felt like an adventure. My friend Amy was in town and we had a couple of beers before the hunger pangs got to us. She had never been to Voodoo Donuts before, so we hopped into our car and drove.
It's your last night here, Amy. We should make it. They should be open still.
The streets were deserted as we pulled up to the donut shop. The neon sign was off, but dim light flittered through the frosted windows, hinting at someone still inside.
They're closed, but maybe they have leftovers? Bitch, you better not be talking about a raid. I am. God, we're so drunk. Come on, let's see.
As we approached the glass door, it swung open, revealing a figure dressed in the Voodoo Donut mascot costume, a cartoonish voodoo priest, complete with a top hat and painted on bones.
Ladies, what a delightful surprise!
The mascot exclaimed in a muffled voice, the headpiece distorting his features.
You're just in time for a special nightcap!
Something about his tone sent a shiver down my spine. but Amy, ever the adventurous soul, laughed it off and pulled me inside.
Why not? I like your hat, by the way.
Oh, such a lovely compliment from such a lovely lady. Here, free colas, compliments from the house.
The mascot rushed to the counter and filled two glasses of cola from the tap. The drinks looked innocuous enough, but as I took a sip, a bitter undertaste caught me off guard. I chalked it up to my drunkenness, fueled by the eerie setting and the mascot's unsettling presence. We chatted about trivial things while the mascot tried flirting with Amy, our laughter echoing in the empty shop. But within minutes, the room began to spin. I tried to grasp the counter for support, but my hands wouldn't cooperate.
Amy.
I managed, my voice a mere whisper before darkness took over. When consciousness crept back, it brought with it the stark reality of our situation. Cold tile pressed against my cheek, and the air smelled sickly sweet, tinged with something metallic. My head throbbed as I tried to move, only to realize my wrists were bound tightly behind me. Panic set in as I turned to see Amy, similarly restrained, her eyes wide with fear.
Where are we? What is happening? In the kitchen.
I murmured, my gaze taking in the horrifying sight of butcher's knives gleaming under the fluorescent lights. The mascot was no longer a cartoonish figure, but a menacing shadow flirting between the ovens and counters. As he approached, he pulled off the mascot head, revealing a gaunt face with hollow cheeks and crazed eyes.
Welcome to the night shift. I make special donuts after hours for my friends at the graveyard. They are always hungry, always ready to bite and taste something new.
He hissed, a twisted smile playing on his lips as he prepared the batter.
Who in their right mind wouldn't? After all, my secret ingredients are going to be so, so sweet.
His laugh was bone-chilling, echoing off the stainless steel surfaces.
It's a special recipe, you see. I add a human touch.
He started laughing maniacally, holding up a grotesquely sharp cleaver. Amy sobbed beside me, her body shaking. I felt cold in my throat as the reality of his words sank in. This wasn't just a robbery or a prank. It was something far more sinister. The psycho stepped closer, the cleaver catching the light as he moved.
Let's prepare the donut, he said, his voice eerily calm. The trick is to not make it chunky. Don't worry, darlings. You'll be grated till you're fine.
As he reached for Amy, something primal awakened within me. The need to protect, to survive. I wriggled, feeling the zip ties biting into my skin, drawing blood. But I didn't care. I had to do something. Anything to prevent this monster from fulfilling his ghastly intent. As the psycho advanced towards Amy with the cleaver, my heart pounded against my ribs like a frantic drum. The cold tiles beneath me felt slick with my own sweat as I struggled against the tight zip ties. Amy's whimpers filled the air, a heartbreaking sound that fueled my desperation.
Please don't do this.
Amy pleaded, tears streaming down her cheeks. The man paused, his head tilting as if considering her plea, but his eyes remained cold and detached.
Silence!
He looked at his cleaver but seemed dissatisfied, so he got up to bring a different blade. In that terrifying moment, my fingers brushed against something small and metallic on the floor, a dropped screw, perhaps from one of the kitchen appliances. It was sharp, jagged. With every ounce of strength left in me, I maneuvered my hands to grasp it between my fingers.
Don't worry, I'm not a monster. You won't feel anything.
The psycho returned with a syringe filled with a clear liquid. This was my moment. With a fierce yank, I managed to cut through one of the zip ties using the screw. My wrists bled, but I was free. The psycho hadn't noticed yet. I leapt up, my legs weak but driven by adrenaline. I charged at the man. He turned just as I slammed into him, the impact sending us both crashing into a nearby prep table. The syringe flew from his grasp, skittering across the floor. He was quick to recover, stronger than he looked.
His hands clawed at my arms, trying to pin me down, but the fight had given me a wild, frenetic strength. I thrashed and kicked, kicking over trays and utensils. The clamor was deafening.
Help! Somebody help us!
Amy screamed. The psycho growled, his expression twisting into one of pure fury. He lunged for the cleaver he had set aside, but in that split second, Amy put her legs in the way, making him fall face first into the floor. I grabbed a pot of boiling sugar glaze intended for the donuts and swung it with all my might. The hot liquid splashed over him, scalding his skin. He screamed, a sound so harrowing it seemed to shake the very walls of the donut shop. While he writhed in agony, I rushed to Amy, tearing at her bindings with a knife I had picked. As soon as she was free, we didn't pause to look back. We bolted towards the front door, stumbling over our own feet in our frantic escape. The cool night air hit us like a wave as we burst out of the shop. We ran without direction, fueled by terror, until we saw the distant lights of a police cruiser patrolling the area. Waving our arms, we screamed for help, our voices hoarse but determined. The police officers were quick to respond, their training kicking in as soon as they took in our disheveled, injured appearances. We recounted everything, the words tumbling out in a chaotic rush. It took less than an hour for the police to get hold of the psycho who ran into the woods. As we sat in the back of an ambulance wrapped in blankets and sipping hot, sweet coffee that bore no resemblance to the nightmare we had just endured, Amy squeezed my hand and smiled. I shook my head slowly and smiled as well. The ordeal was over, but I knew the shadows of that night would linger, a stark reminder of the fragility of safety and the depth of human depravity. But amid those shadows, there would also be a glimmer of something fierce and invincible, the enduring strength of friendship and the unyielding will to survive.